Welcome to episode 433 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we feature a grand conversation with artist, puppeteer, performer, sculptor, and all-around great guy from his PMS farm in Wayne County, John Bromberg. We talk with John about bridge parts, sculptures and paintings, farm implements, cutting the hay, selling out. We talk about living the good life. Elka Schumann, Peter Schumann, Scott and Helen Nearing. Beware of the bunnies, organic farming, and Galadriel's wedding. A wonderful 40-minute conversation with John Bromberg this go-round. Thank you, Trudy, for helping us set it up. We have an EWSA titled Sapiens, and of course, we'll feature several tunes that'll imbue, infuse this episode with an energy I am pretty sure you'll love. Let's get to it. Episode 433 of Troubadours and Raconteurs.
Got to take.
Sapiens. The sun is always naked and unabashed. We are one of its moons doing a dance. I'm trying to break free from the trance of task and circumstance. Men and women on stilts, not built to last, past the beautiful bombast of an orchestrated circus, with puppets and clay, bread and horns, no crowns of thorns or yarmulkes, robes, hijab, or turbans of manufactured worship. Soul and heart, grass and trees and the rain, prism, spectrum, arcs in the sky. The village, city streets, brownstones and bodegas. The countryside with bears and bunnies. Long beards, ponytails, shaved heads, smooth and hairy nipples, riverside beds, drum circles, acoustic guitars, and spoken word, written and extemporaneously. Around a wood-burning fire, encased in stone, on top of ash forming there for decades. Connected, independent, but not alone. Dirt-cheap parades with Elka enlightened, escorting and guiding, watching and smiling. The feast is forever, and two needs to be nurtured around and through, depending on the terrain. What will be lost and what will be gained is not to be thoroughly encapsulated within a concise refrain. Though, knowing there are days light and dark nights can give us rhythm to cultivate happiness and courage and love when it's calm and through the storm, where earth is a haven and living truly free is the norm.
Good morning. You have reached PMS Farm. In other words, Puppet Central. Please state your business.
Well, I wanted to talk with John Bromberg today.
All right.
Yeah.
He's right here.
You thought you'd trick me, didn't you?
He's got a little hayseeds in his throat. I took a day off from building bridge parts, and I'm mowing the fields in an annual event that we used to need to accomplish before the festival so that people had a place to park without their mufflers setting the field on fire.
Oh, you're talking about the Mudball?
Mudball Festival, yes. Yes. But I do it anyway, since even though we don't have the festival here the last couple of years. So it's a ritual. I love rituals.
Yeah, they help.
They have so much deep down meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how are you today?
I'm okay. You know, it's nice to have you on Troubadours and Rock On Tours. For those folks who haven't heard our conversations before, we've talked a few times on the show. This is John Bromberg. He's an artist of many sorts, an activist, painter, sculptor, puppeteer, and we're talking with him at his place in Wayne County, Pennsylvania. PMS Farms, right?
That's right. Yeah, you got it.
And
it's double meaning, Larry. You know, PMS to women means you know, postmenstrual syndrome, but it also means pictures moved by strings.
Right. I love the double
entendre. Connecting things like that, you know, so that you could fool people. I love to fool people. Yeah, I'm a jester at heart.
Yeah. I love what you do. I have for many years.
Oh, thank you, Larry. That means a lot to me.
Well, it means a lot to me that you're around and you do what you do. And I know you're working on several different projects. I know there's some things significant that have occurred recently too that probably have you thinking and feeling a bit. I don't know. I mean, you haven't brought it up. I presume you know, but maybe you don't.
I don't know. Let's go over it.
Well, do you know about Elka?
Oh, I'm so sad about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about that or not. You don't need to.
Yeah, well, we were blessed to see her in June for Peter's birthday, so at least we got a chance to see her, and she already had two strokes, but she still seemed smart as a whip, and you know, her whole family, all five kids were up there. So, you know, it was suspected that, you know, this, but it was only 3 weeks before her birthday. I usually celebrate Peter's birthday and then I celebrate Elka's birthday.
And we're talking about Peter and Elka Schumann.
Celebrate it anyway.
Yeah, when I would just want to, for folks that don't know our references, we're talking about the great Peter and Elka Schumann up in Glover, Vermont. Peter and Elka are founders of the Bread and Puppet Theater back in, I guess that must have been in the late 60s, early 70s, right, in Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe actually 1963 is popping in my head. Was it that early?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, the early 60s. And then they moved it to Glover, Vermont because it was getting too hip.
Oh, no. They went to a university. They went up to a university where they were artists in residence.
Oh, okay.
And then they found, it's actually Elka's father who gave them that farm.
Nice.
John, yeah, you know, Elka's grandparents are Helen and Scott Nearing, the pioneers of the Green Movement in the 50s, not the 60s now. You know, this was, I really wanted to be a beatnik, but I just missed it. I just missed it. And so I guess I became a hippie, but I'm not sure if I was a hippie at the time. And but I really wanted to learn more about these folks. So I stalked them, Larry.
The Schumanns or the Nearings?
The Nearings, yeah. And they were up in Vermont at first, but not at this farm. Yeah, lower in Vermont. And ski lodges started popping up, and they said no, because their whole thing was, you know, to return to simplicity and sustainability. I mean, even before it flared up like it is now, you know, that's a good thing to keep your eye on, simplicity and sustainability. So so they got out of there and they went up to Maine. In Maine, the Good Life Center is still there. They wrote a book called Living the Good Life.
Living the Good Life.
And so the Good Life Center is still there, and I used to stalk them up there also. So one day we're sitting at the kitchen table, because Sunday was the only day of rest. Scott was really a slave driver. If he saw you sitting around, you were out of there. You had to earn your keep. So Helen bends over to Scott, and she says to him, you know, Scott, it would really be nice to have a pond. And Scott paused for a minute, and then he looked back at Helen, and he said, Helen, I'm going to build you a pond. And you see, they wouldn't allow animals. There was no animals, no mechanical. This was simplicity. So there were no tractors, nothing like that, you know. So Helen looked a little surprised. So she said, Scott, how are you going to do that? And he said, one wheelbarrow at a time. And by golly, every time I went up there after that, he was working on it, and I would ask him, you know, Scott, let me help you. I mean, I don't know how big a pond you're planning to build, but it's going to take a while. He says, I got time, because Scott's thing was to live to be 100. And then when he was 100, he said he didn't want to burden anybody, and if he lived to be 100, he was going to stop eating. And that's exactly what he did.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't think, I wasn't there, but I don't think he could have done it without Helen. Because Helen, it must be hard to say goodbye to this wonderful planet. So anyway, he had a son, John. So John was a reporter for the New York Times, and he wrote about communism, because Scott was a communist, a dedicated communist. And that's the reason, I think he was teaching at Harvard, and they said, you know, Scott, you got to tone down your message. And he says, no, I'm not toning down any message. And they said, well, we're going to have to ask you to leave. So he said, good, it's time for me to leave. I've been here too long. I'm getting stale. And I loved Scott, yeah. And that's when, he might have met Helen before that, a little bit before that, but that's when he decided that they would do this simplicity thing, and they wrote this book together, Living the Good Life. And they earned, you know, they needed, they also needed money, so they made maple syrup, at least 500 gallons a season, I think.
Wow.
And
so they had,
you know,
a,
we used to make,
they had a sugar shack.
Anyway, John decided to go to Russia. You know, he's preaching communism because of Scott. you know, so he's he listened to Scott all his life, you know, so Scott must have something going for him. So he went to Russia, and he was totally disgusted about communism. So he came back, and he started writing the opposite kind of articles in the New York Times. And, of course, Scott disowned him. He said, John, I don't want you to have my name anymore. This is it. You know, I mean, you're slandering my beliefs.
So this is a father and son quarrel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they're all related. See, that was Elka's grandfather and Elka's father. John was Elka's father, and he's the one that gave them the farm.
Wow.
And what's that college up there? It's a really, really hip college that a lot of experimentation.
Up in Vermont?
Yeah.
There's a number of them. I think the things that pop into my head are like Middlebury, maybe. But that's
No. But anyway, that's the story about Elka's connections with deep roots in. You've never been up to Glover, have you?
I have not been to Glover. You know, I lived in Vermont for a couple of years, but I didn't go up to Glover.
That's a shame, man. Yeah, this year is their 50th anniversary of the domestic resurrection circus.
Right, and that started, I guess that's what started in New York City, right?
No.
That started when they moved?
They became quite celebrated, and they spent a lot of time in Europe. I mean, they were adored, absolutely adored in Europe. So they wanted, you know, but meanwhile they were based in Glover, you know, so they started to feel a little guilty that, you know, they weren't providing something for their own community in Glover. So that's how this domestic resurrection circus started, that they wanted to give something to their own community. You should definitely go up there, man. So they were gonna look online. I don't know if they're gonna do this, but they said they were gonna do circuses from July 10th to August 29th.
Okay.
So I don't know, because of Elka's passing, if that's gonna happen.
I think they did have something.
Look on their website, and if it is happening, you should definitely go up there. And they have a pine forest where it's a memorial for all the puppeteers, and everyone that was connected with them had gone off to another realm. So when they lose someone, they have this big brass band that leads everyone into the pine forest. And then they hang out and, you know, memorialize this person. And then they, with the brass band again, you know, this is like...
New Orleans, sounds like.
Well, everything that happens there. Yeah, there's no quiet time there. Yeah, Peter is just like his, I guess it would be his grandfather-in-law. Yeah, a real slave driver.
Really? He's like Scott? Peter was like Scott? Nearing?
Oh, yeah. And he, in more ways than one, in more ways than I choose to relate to you.
Did they get along? Did they ever meet?
Marvelously, yeah. Yeah, but they were slightly envious of each other, I think. Yeah, I think it was reciprocal. I really do. And, I'm sorry you missed all of this, Larry.
Well, I got a taste of it whenever I hang out with you and you do your things that are inspired by what you've learned.
Go on the website and see if they're going to do this for
the
summer?
Well, I did, actually, and they have been doing it since July, and they mentioned a ceremony where Elka actually played a recorder during it. Yeah, so they have been doing it.
Yeah.
They have been doing it.
And yeah.
Elka was just last weekend she was doing some stuff.
Right
there during one of the ceremonies, so she was involved and vibrant till the end.
Yeah. So how did you learn about Elka's passing?
Actually, a friend of mine who lives in Vermont and is very aware of what's going on there. He knows that I have a connection through you and to Peter and an appreciation for your work. He sent me a text last night. I was sitting on the couch, and I heard the phone vibrate, and he sent me a text saying, "I don't know if you know, man," and he had a link to an article about it, and I read it, and I felt sad, you know, but...
Oh, yeah.
But because I never met Elk, but I met Peter, and I liked Peter, and I know this woman must be very important to him. So, you know, I felt bad for him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Peter's going to do without her. I mean, she was his lifeline.
Yeah, that's what this article said. This article said she's the foundation, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, that she is so key to everything that has occurred with Peter. It's together. It's both of them. Yet Peter is, I guess, known more so. But Elka, without this article, at least that I'm reading, it says that without Elka, you know, much of the stuff wouldn't have occurred.
You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest.
So
absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. She brought shape note singing to the work, and yeah, she brought a lot to the work, yeah.
And she was born in Russia, so, I understand, right? Wasn't she born in Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met her mom.
You met her mom?
Yeah, she came here a couple of years before she passed, and yeah, I met her.
You know,
yeah, and then Peter, when Peter's mom died, she lived in the Black Forest in Germany. And at 95 years old, I don't know why this is a magic number, because at 95 years old is when Helen visited me here on the farm. And then shortly after that, she hit a tree in Maine.
This is Helen, Helen Nearing.
Helen Nearing, yeah, yeah. So
She was at PMS Farms. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know how much attention you pay to what's around here, but there's a bunch of signs that say beware of bunnies.
Beware of bunnies? Is
yeah, beware of bunnies. So, okay, so Helen gets here, and it's totally dark. I don't know what time it was, but she gets here. And I forgot to bring a flashlight out, so I was very careful to lead her up the stairs, because everything here, even in the light of day, is hard to maneuver for older folks. And I'm finding that out.
You're a spring chicken. How old are you now?
So she stumbled coming up the stairs, fortunately I was right there to help her. So she finally gets to the house, and we have a little bit to eat, and then I show her the room, the guest room, and she probably stayed up reading. She was an avid reader, but I didn't hang out with her. I thought she might be tired after driving from Maine at 95 years old.
was she alone driving from Maine?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, she came to Bren Pub after Scott passed. She used to drive from Maine to Vermont. For the circus, for the domestic resurrection circus,
to hang out with her daughter Elka and Peter.
That's right. Well, it isn't actually her daughter. This is Elka's stepmother.
Okay.
Yeah. Scott's first wife divorced him.
Okay. So
because because he had a keenness for women. But don't let that get out.
I won't. Well, this is going to be.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So,
it's
but
all right. That's right.
So Scott is Elka's grandfather, but Helen is not.
Elka. It's her. Yes. A step grandmother.
I understand. Okay. So anyway, so yeah. So Helen would came down to visit you in the bunny signs. We're trying to connect.
Oh, there weren't any bunny signs. So she was startled by a bunny. That's why she almost tripped on the stairs. And I can only imagine if she had broken her hip or something. Oh my God. So I don't want to go there. But so anyway, she goes to sleep, and I get up real early anyway, 4 a.m. every morning. I thought my father was a complete fool for getting up at 4 a.m., but now look at me. So I went out, and I quick made all of these signs that said, beware of bunnies. And I put them all around because I was going to give it a tour of the farm. So I spread them out as much as I could. So we have breakfast, and then let me show you the farm, you know. So we're wandering around, and she starts seeing these signs. And she says, if I would have seen these signs last night, I would not have stumbled coming up the stairs. And I said, well, it was dark, Helen, you know, don't mind that you're 95 years old, but it was dark, you know, so you couldn't see the signs, even though it's white lettering on a black background. Next time I'll make them in Day-Glow paint.
So you didn't.
Yeah, so
you didn't...
that was yeah. We had a great time, and then I don't know. It was maybe 2 weeks later that I was listening to the radio. You know, Amy Goodman, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Democracy Now.
Yeah.
And I heard that Helen Nearing hit a tree, and I oh no. See, I am blessed like that, Larry, in that I get to see dear friends shortly before their passing.
And why is that a blessing, would you say?
Well, you know, I can embrace them, the memory of them, you know. Whereas if I hadn't seen them for a long time, you know, don't you agree with me?
No, I'm not saying I disagree. I just wanted to understand why you thought it was a blessing.
Well, I do. I do. Because, I probably missed them more. So in that way, it's probably not a blessing.
Right, because you just connected and you feel...
So I'll share the opinion with you, all right?
Yeah. Okay.
So I took a day off from building bridge parts, and yesterday I started mowing. It takes a couple of days, but
use a tractor.
Yeah, wait.
Do you use a tractor?
Yeah, I borrow my neighbor's tractor and a brush hog. Yeah, it's too many acres to do on a little lawn tractor.
Yeah, that's a big place.
Yeah, it's actually my daughter's property. I gave it to her as a wedding gift.
But, I remember you told me that. And those bunny signs.
You missed that too, didn't you?
No, the wedding?
The prenuptial blessing.
I did. Well, you didn't invite me.
Here on the... Oh, it was fantastic. Of course, thoroughly influenced by Bread and Puppet. But it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And then, so we didn't have a body of water here, and we wanted to do a water ballet. So a doctor that I work for.
I just want to be, I want to be clear. I want to be clear. This was something connected to when you gave the land, the PMS farm to your daughter.
That's right.
a prenuptial, you call it.
Well, she asked me to marry him. See, I've married people because I lived with a Native American teacher, and that gives me so-called authority to marry people. But so I married the Terstig's son. Do you know the Terstig's?
I do not know the Terstig's. Are they neighbors?
Oh, okay. What?
Are they neighbors of yours?
No. He was a professor at Keystone.
Oh, okay. Keystone College, yeah.
He's an incredible ceramicist. Ceramist.
A person who makes ceramics, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, she asked me to marry them. She was ready to get married. And I said, okay, let's talk about it. What kind of thing would you like to see happen? And she told me, and it was so far away from what I wanted to see happen, you know, as far as a ceremony and a pageant. And she was into the usual trappings. I mean, my two daughters are yuppies. Yeah, they're both consumers, and they didn't learn anything here on the farm.
Well, they're rebelling. They're rebelling against you. It's obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I love them nevertheless, but...
I'm confused, though. So you're talking about a professor from Keystone College, and you're talking about your daughter. Is your daughter marrying the professor from Keystone College?
No. I'm sorry. I jumped from one thing to the other. No, I married his son. So that's why I brought it up. Because it certified my ability to marry people. So that's why my daughter asked me to marry her and Michael.
Gotcha. So you married the Keystone. Yeah, you married the Keystone College professor. That was like your initial ceremony.
No, Michael is not Keystone College professor.
No. I get that. You married the Keystone College professor first to whomever, and then you married your daughter to Michael subsequently.
It was his son. Yeah, it was his son.
It was the Keystone College professor's son.
Yeah. Yeah, Nathan and Debbie. Yeah. And it was a beautiful ceremony. It was a collaboration. They're both artists, so they had an idea of what they were after. And the reason they wanted me there is, for my connection with Native American ceremony and rituals and all that kind of stuff. So we blended it both together, and it was just... It was magnificent. It really, and we presented it to an audience. We were on a sand mound. You know the sand mound that you use for to deposit your waste.
Oh, that's where you married them on top of the sand mound.
Well, it's covered over with grass, you know, and so it was. They chose it. Yeah, they chose it. See, I'm more into symbolism, so I would not have chosen it. But they chose it because it was an elevated platform.
And did you tell them why? Did you tell them why it was elevated? Did you tell them what was holding it up?
No, they knew that. Oh, no, this happened on the Terstig property. This didn't happen here on the farm.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I never had to get a sand mound. I think they were a waste of time. And just a way to put money in the pockets of government. So anyway, so my daughter had this dream when she was a kid. This is Galadriel we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So she had this dream, and she woke up. I might have woken her up to go to school. And she wakes up, and all she looks at me with a glazed over look, and she said, "Horses make a landscape look more beautiful." And I said, okay, but it's time for school, you know, and I couldn't help but think about it all day. I mean, where the hell did this come from? You know, but she always wanted to have horses, but I don't know how she was able to put it together so poetically. I mean, she was only, 7 or 8 years old. But we had goats. We had 17 milking goats and a buck, and we could sustain on homesteading, Yeah, we would sell all our products. We had a large garden, 2 acres of corn, 17 milking goats, and I got all of this from the Nearings, except animals. They would never have animals. Animals were out of the question. They didn't want to do that. So, or tractors. So
back to the land.
Yeah, but we used to sell all our products. This is way back in 72, and we used to sell all our products to a health food store in Honesdale, so we could get top dollar for them, you know, because it was just at the bare beginning of the organic craze, mm-hmm. you know, and of course we were organic because we learned it from, or I learned it from the Nearings in the 50s, you know, and this pounded in my head, Larry, you know, this horses make a landscape look more beautiful. And then when I talked her out of me doing the ceremony that I wanted to offer to do a prenuptial blessing for them, that worked out beautiful because I made two big puppets, one of her and one of Michael. And her windows are on the second floor where she slept. And I made these puppets with big heads, like 3-4 foot heads. And the bodies were fabric so that when the guests came and I brought them to Galadriel's window, they couldn't see anything because it was laying flat and it was disguised. So then we had a fiddle player, Ted Snover. He was fabulous, yeah. And he played as I told the story. So the story was that, and as I'm telling the story, the puppets are emerging from the ground, or one at a time. So Galadriel's, I'm telling the story about Galadriel, and the puppet is emerging from the ground in front of the guests, and it is slowly going up to Galadriel's window. You know, it's rising because it's fabric. It could do things like that, and so the head is in front of Galadriel's window, and inside Galadriel's room is Trudy. So as I'm telling the story of, you know, this whole episode that burned so deeply in my psyche of that horses make a landscape look more beautiful, out in front of the head came Trudy's hands. And they had two little horses in her hands. Yeah, it was so incredibly striking. And the fiddle player, you know, is filling in where I'm running out of, you know, out of steam. You know, I mean, I don't process quickly, so I always need musical backup. So then I'm telling the rest of the story. Then the rest of the story is, of course, about Michael. So Michael's puppet is also face down, but there's another window, which is actually an attic, next to Galadriel's room. And so Michael's puppet starts emerging, and I'm telling the story of how he was a star basketball player. And that's when Galadriel fell in love with him. So she became a cheerleader, you know, and as I'm telling this story and the fiddle player, so the head gets up to that other window and a puppeteer, Nick DeLucia, is inside that window and his hands emerge around the big head, but it has a basketball in it. So Nick is flipping the basketball from hand to hand, but he can't see anything. I don't know how many passes he was able to do, actually, yet. But even if he wasn't able to do one, it was okay because it was, and that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning of this prenuptial blessing. I mean, it was just extraordinary. And unfortunately, Joseph Berinsky, do you know him?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah. He's a Polish shaman. He lived in Wilkes-Barre. And he really enjoyed our work, you know, and we were spiritually connected. And so he offered to film the whole thing. But unfortunately, he just got a new camera. And it had all these bells and whistles on it, you know. So he was so busy screwing around with those things, you know, and reading the manual mm-hmm. that he missed the essence of this. Yeah. You want to hear the rest of it?
I'd love to, but, you know, we're getting
running out of time. Oh, that's right. I forgot we were on a time schedule.
We are.
I'm sorry, Larry.
No, nothing to be. I'm sorry. I wish we could talk.
No, I'd like to tell you some other time. You should come up here with your woman and your kids.
I would love to.
This is a great place. This is paradise, Larry. That's why I never left.
Well, how about if I give you? How about if I give you a call? Let me give you a call, you know, off air, and we'll figure out a day where I can take a ride up there with Mike.
Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah.
I would love it. And I appreciate you spending some time with us in between cutting your grass now to share.
No, it's not grass. It's hay, Larry.
Hey.
And it's so thick. It's so thick. I am going through so much gas because I have to mow in second gear in order for the brush hog to chop it up enough that it's not, so it goes back into the earth quickly. Yeah, so in second gear, I am using so much gas, you know, because it's slow.
Scott and Helen would not be Scott and Helen would not be pleased.
Oh, no, not at all. No. No, Scott would disown me, just like the other, just like his son, John. yeah. No, he loved me to an extent. Helen really loved me. But, I want to say I don't know if it wasn't similar with Peter and Elka. Yeah, Peter and Elka really loved me. She helped me finagle a lot with Peter. Yeah. She know I had to do that once in a while. So
go through Elka, yeah, if you want to.
Yeah. Just like Christians believe, to get to Jesus, you got to go through his mother.
Right. And, right. Well, when I'm trying to get to you, I have to go through Trudy. So there's a pattern here, you know.
See that? Wow. Yeah. I wish we would we're beginning to realize this, Larry. But women rule the world.
Yeah, they should.
It's starting to come to the forefront now. I mean, there's more women that are in government now, and they rule the world. You know, I mean, and I don't know why it's taken men so long to recognize that.
Because they're smarter than us. It takes us a while to figure things out. You know.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Well, we'll pick this up another time and continue. It's a pleasure.
Oh, please. Yeah.
It's a pleasure, and I will call you, and we'll get together soon.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Yeah, I miss seeing you since I got you kicked off the television network.
you and Peter, both of you, the two of you.
Yeah. That's right. I think you were reinstated, and then Peter came on, and then he had you for a second time kicked off.
Right.
I think that's how it happened.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. I'm trying to get on again. I'll let you know, and then I'll have you on as a guest and see if we could sustain it. But
okay. Terrific.
Well,
okay, Larry.
Take care, John.
Give my blessings to your crew there. I'm sure you got like 50 people working with you. So
I will.
Give my love to them.
I will. And give my best to yours.
Okay. Goodbye now.
Bye, John.
Episode 433 of Troubadours and Rock On Tours, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, John Bromberg, Trudy Gerlach, and these musical artists.
Thelonious Monk, George Harrison, Rye Cooter, The Bread and Puppet Dirt Cheap Circus, The Grateful Dead, too. And of course, I'd like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. Take care.